I'm Ed Logan. I'm District Conservationist, Crosbyton Field Office. With me is Jim Bob Clary. He's the District Conservationist here in Floyd County. Today we were asked to talk about a few things. Go ahead, JB. That's our topics for today. Excuse me. Going to talk a little bit about cover crops, beginning farmer rancher, and rainfall harvesting. Those were the topics we were asked to discuss today. I really don't want to read everything to you. I know all y'all can read, so I'll find a few things in the slides. Real informal, you see something that you want to ask a question about, stop us. We'll go ahead and try to give you the best answer we can. We're supposed to have a couple of other folks from our zone office here today, Brand Underwood, our zone agronomist. Don't know if he's here. And one of our engineers, Jacob Manis, supposed to be here. If you have particular questions about one of our programs, and we can't answer it, one of those guys will be glad to help you. We get a lot of talk about soil health, and that's cover cropping. But we have to address a resource concern. So the primary resource concern we're addressing is soil health. Go ahead, JB. What is soil health? Management system based on set of principles that, when applied correctly, will develop healthy soil. There's our five principles. Soil armor, and that's just going to be our cover. That's just a fancy word for the cover. Minimizing disturbance, plant diversity, continual living plants and roots. Number five is kind of one that we're just touching on in our region. You hear a lot about cover crops up in the Midwest, and I'm sure they can graze the heck out of those things. But we're in pretty much a semi-arid region, so the livestock integration is something we're just now looking at. We really haven't integrated that in our program yet. Just a slide there showing some cover as far as armor goes. Okay, that's our number one principle, soil health. Crop residues on the surface, we're going to limit tillage, going to rotate our crops. Cotton's not in there, but that's a big one here in our part of the world. Corn, wheat, grain, cotton, and then we'll have our cover crops as part of the rotation. Minimizing soil disturbance. Again, I don't want to read all these to you. But like I said, if you have a question, give us a holler. Plant diversity. With the cover cropping that NRCS or the EQIP program assists with, it's a three-year payment that we can assist with, and it's really to get somebody that's interested in cover crops to start a system. So that's what it is. It's an incentive payment to get somebody that's interested in cover crops to start cover cropping. It is. And diversity, we talk about diversity. The mix we play for has to be at least five species, and we'll get into that a little bit later about what all needs to be in that mix. A lot of people look at wheat and say, hey, just pay us for planting wheat, and that's not part of the EQIP program. The five species mixed cover crop is. There's the livestock integration again. We're not really implementing that part of the system yet in our cover crops, but it's something we look at. If the cover crops are really, really great, we can graze them there at the end of the growing season, we may permit that. Step one, got to develop a plan. That's where Jim, Bob, and I and our specialists, our zone agronomists, come in. We meet with everybody pretty much on an individual basis. Everybody's different. Everybody wants to do something a little bit different. So first step would be to develop a plan. That's going to include our rotation, residue management, and kind of what we plan on doing on weed control. Big one on this slide is set realistic goals. We'll look at a few slides here in a little bit of cover crops we had this past year in Crosby County. It'll be evident, the irrigated to the dry land, because when it quit raining, as all y'all know, it quit raining. So our dry land cover crops aren't real good. Probably wasn't a good year to draw any conclusions as to how good cover cropping will work on dry land, but you'll see some slides here in a little bit. Got to have a support network. There's a lot of farmers that are doing it. There's a few in the audience today that are doing it in Crosby County through the EQIP program. So we encourage, you know, we don't know all the answers. Those guys are out on the land doing it themselves. They know a heck of a lot more of what works and what doesn't work than we probably ever will. But you got to have a network, farmers, NRCS, and then others like your seed companies and people like that. Realistic goals, again, that whenever we sign up for EQIP, we got to be addressing a resource concern. Like I said, it's either erosion, soil health, a lot of our irrigated practices, we're addressing irrigation water use. For erosion, we might build terraces. We're addressing water erosion. So here's just some for our cover cropping. It's either going to be wind erosion, soil health, nitrogen fixation. Soil health is the big one that we always kind of turn to. Again, don't expect the results you may see. May go to some talks across the state or in other states, and they show you pictures of cover crops, and they really look tremendous. But again, we're in a little bit different situation here on the South Plains. There's our picture of cover crops, mixed cover crop we had in Crosby County, irrigated. That's our dry land over on the right. Big difference. Again, probably wasn't a good year to draw conclusions. If we'd had a couple of rains there late in the fall, I think those would have looked a whole lot better. Again, we talked about the livestock, and mostly it just has to do with our part of the world, whether or not we're going to be able to allow folks to integrate the livestock grazing on our cover crops. Getting into our mixes a little bit, it's got to be a mix of grass, legumes, forbs. We'll get into warm season, cool season here in a little bit. And then those are our goals we're trying to look at by planting our cover crops and addressing soil health. Just another shot of one of our, that's early in the year, irrigated cover. Things to think about if y'all are interested in cover crops, whether or not y'all are interested in planting a mix of cool season or warm season. We pretty much have to pick one or the other because the species that we plan to plant has to be, we have to plant 100% mix of either cool season or warm season. We'll look at an example here in a little bit of a warm season mixture. For the five species mix that we will cost share, at least 50% of the mix have to be grasses, 30% legumes, 20% brassicas. Just some examples of each one of those different type plants. Legumes, you got your clovers and your vetches. Brassicas are your broadleaf plants. Got turnips, mustards, sesame. That's toward the end of our growing season in Crosby County. Probably north central Crosby County is where that contract was located. You see a lot of diversity there. You can see a lot of different species. That stuff was probably head high. There's the example. You'll see where it says warm season. Again, it has to come up to 100%, and we try to, again, 50% has to be grasses, and then your legumes, and then your broadleafs. That's just a quick example of one. The producers we had in Crosby County were sowing a mixture of cool season, warm season. They wanted something growing all the time. We just had to make sure that it was primarily a warm season mix. So their mix was actually like 160-170%. But we had to make sure that the warm season aspect of the mix was at least 100%. If you take home points from this part of our presentation, it's a process. Try to encourage you to start slow. We encouraged one of ours to start slow, but he didn't start slow. He put them all in, and he did a great job. But if you're just interested in it, see how it's going to work, we recommend picking a farm or two. Irrigated farms, pivot irrigated, they work great because you can do half to pivot or something like that. Again, it just stands to reason. It's got to have high residue aspect in the rotation. Flexibility is the key. Again, things change, and that's where we try to assist those operators that are interested in the cover cropping. There's things we can and can't do since we have federal dollars tied to it. We have to make sure that what we're doing, we can stand behind, meets our standard and specs, because those federal dollars are tied to it. Define a goal for your soil health. Again, got to think about your rotation. A lot of ours are doing cotton, then they're planting wheat cover, and letting that wheat go to term, and then they're planting their cover crops, their five-species cover crops, into that wheat stubble, and then that's what it is for that growing season. Okay, that wrapped up cover crops. If you got a question, we'll take that now. If you got a question later in the day, something you're wondering about what we said, got a few copies of the entire PowerPoint on our table right over here. You're welcome to it. We only made about 50 copies, so if you want one, you're welcome to it. Jim Bob's going to talk about the EQIP and the special funding codes that we have for the EQIP program, and then we'll wrap it up with a rainfall harvest.
Well, good morning. Now I'm going to just quickly go over what it takes to fall under the historically underserved umbrella. And basically, I'm going to begin with the beginning farmer and rancher. So this is just kind of an indicator if somebody thinks they're eligible. A beginning farmer or rancher, and by the definition, really is has not operated a farm or ranch, or who has not operated for more than 10 consecutive years. This person has to be materially and substantially participate in the operation of the farm or ranch. One of the best ways, probably, for somebody who might be right on the border of 10 years or not, one way that you can kind of look and find out to see if you might be eligible is on your IRS 1040. You can go back 10 years, and if within one of those years you have not filed a Schedule F, you potentially would be eligible for that program. And these programs for beginning farmers, they do have a higher payment rate, so it's something if you do qualify for, it's a good opportunity. Also, I wanted to say on that, in the case of an entity, all the participants have to meet that criteria. So next, I'm going to the socially disadvantaged farmer or rancher. This is an individual or entity who is a member of a socially disadvantaged group. The disadvantaged group are group members who have been subject to racial or ethnic prejudice because of their identity as a member of that group. These are such as Native Americans, Asians, and there's some others. But then I'm going to talk about, one thing I need to mention on that, gender alone is not covered under the NRCS conservation programs. Then next we've got the veteran farmer and rancher. The caveat to this is to qualify as a veteran farmer or rancher, you also have to meet the beginning farmer and rancher criteria. And with that, that's about all we've got on that. If you have any questions, you know, it's something that you have to self-certify if you apply that way. We don't make that determination for you. So I'm going to give it back to Ed and let him talk about the rainfall harvesting.
Closer. We had some interest, or Caitlin said there was some interest in folks wanting to know about the rainfall harvesting. That picture that was the previous slide. We all y'all have a big barn that keep your equipment in and stuff. We also, it's not just rainfall harvesting for the sake of catching water. You know, we have to have a resource concern identified. Whether it has to be, if we cost share it, you got the water needs to be used for ag use. Chemical spraying, we can work that in. A lot of people are using it to water livestock or to irrigate some other lands. That's just the purpose there. That gives some examples. Protect structures, increase water quality. And again, it's collected and used for a purpose such as irrigation, animal watering facilities, but we also can use it for mixing our spray. Just to pick that just showing the guttering system on this particular structure. Some of the items that we do, the EQIP program will assist with cost sharing, is the guttering and then the storage facilities that will be used to collect the water. Work consists of providing materials, labor, installing roof runoff structure, includes not limited to the gutters, downspouts, supports, fasteners, outlets, conveyance system to collect. It's all got to be done in accordance with our NRCS standard and specifications. Again, we have what we usually do is when we have somebody interested in it, one of my directors had us out. We get one of our engineers out of Lubbock. He'll come measure the roof, look at the gutters. There's Jacob right over there. Jacob's right over. Measures the roof, measures the gutters. A lot of times the gutters aren't big enough, so we have to install a gutter that meets our standard and specification. That's kind of what he comes out to do. And then works with y'all to determine how much storage you think you're going to need. Again, it's a case-by-case basis, so if you're interested, catches your attention. You don't have to be from one of our counties. Any county you farm in or you have your facility in or your barn in, just go visit your local friendly NRCS folks. Just a shot there showing the, you'll see those later on when they've installed those storage facilities. We got two different kind of, it kind of fits under two different practice codes as far as roof runoff and the storage. If we're putting in water storage facilities for livestock, it's going to be under our what we call a practice code 614. We have practice codes for everything. Drips 441, pivots are 442, pipelines 430. This just happens to be the practice code for watering facilities. You'll hear us talk about that and see it a lot in your contracts or documents we provide for you. And that's about it. So if you're interested, cover crops, water storage facilities, or if you think you may be a beginning farmer or in one of those protected groups, veteran farmer or rancher, our table's right over here, right off the stage. We have some rain gauges to give away, a few thermometers left, and some notepads. Again, we thank you. We're glad to be here this morning. And if you have any questions, give us a call.